Are you ready with your magic?
Yes, I am. It's okay. In a bottle just waiting to be poured.
The Tyre Kickers. Classic car chat with Max and Matt.
Hello there and welcome to the 29th time we've sat down and had a good old moan. Mainly just getting stuff off our chests about classic cars. Talking of which, this episode, it's all about getting your top off.
Yes, the sun has been out, so every car we talk about this time round will be open air. Not fixed, but drop head. Not roof, but ragtop. Today, it's all about the Cabriolet.
We'll search out the top convertibles for summertime sunshine action and ask, what's the fastest and most stylish way to get a burnt forehead?
The Tyre Kickers.
But be warned, not all open-air motors are magnificent, so we're giving the drop-top Vauxhall Cavalier the crush or caress treatment. Is it worth saving the 1980s Cabriolet Cav, or is it just a bit too chav?
Plus, we'll have all your comments and corrections ringing in our ears as we drive off into the sun. So drop your top and breathe in those exhaust fumes as we go convertible crazy in episode 29 of the Tyre Kickers.
Driving and arguing since 2024. This is the Tyre Kickers.
So we've had more than two unbroken days of sunny sunshine, and being Britain, the whole country is now asking the big question, Max. When will the hosepipe ban start?
No, 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 no. The big question is, which classic convertible can you buy for that strange feeling of the sun on your face? What's the best way to soak up the rays while driving to work? So this edition of the podcast is the Drop Top, Top of the Pops.
Right, current reference, that Top of the Pops. I don't think that's been on the TV for about 20 years. Yeah, it's a good question. Why do we like convertibles so much, Max? I mean, they are wobbly, they're squeaky, they're leaky. They look great with the roof down, but let's be honest, most of the time the roof is up, especially when it's in a garage, and they just look a bit ugly, don't they? But in this country, that is 90% of the time that the roof is up. But we love them. Why do we love them so much?
I don't know, because really from a design point of view, a cabriolet model ruins all the tightly designed lines of the coupe. For evidence, see all Porsche 911 cabriolets, BMW 3 Series, Mercedes C-Classes, great coupes, so-so cabriolets. I mean, how many cabriolets have you had, actually? That's an interesting question. I can't remember.
Well, I've not had that many classic ones. I've had an Alfa Spider. And obviously got Sunbeam Alpine now, but I've had a lot of sort of dailies. I've had probably three Mercedes, two E-Class cabs, CLK, and I've currently got a BMW 4 Series that I run around with roof problems. At the moment, we'll get into that later. I nearly bought, as I've said in previous podcasts, a Stag about three times, and I nearly bought a Citroen Diane as well. It's got the roll roof. It rolls back like a sardine tin. For my wife, who was our first car, and she had a thing about it. I went to try and buy one during lockdown for her 50th birthday. I'd found this car. It'd been restored. I turned up. It'd been restored and then put under a tree for two years, and it was awful. So I had to walk away from that. But I am drawn to a convertible, though, and I think even though I quite fancy a coupe now as a next classic, I still find myself looking at the convertibles.
You see, I like a good convertible to look at, but when you drive them, they're always a bit disappointing. And the first convertible I had was a Beetle convertible, which was rubbish. It was so wobbly, I thought the doors would just fall off, a bit like the Blues Brothers car when it just came to the end of its life. So I've always had a rule that if you're going to buy a convertible, buy one which has been designed as a convertible to begin with, then hopefully they won't be quite as floppy. So after that Beetle, I had a MGB, rubber bumper MGB convertible, and a Porsche Boxster, both of which weren't too bad, actually. I loved the MGB, and the Boxster was then quite quick and sounded good. And then I've just got the Merc SL. But those cars, because they were designed as convertibles, I don't think are quite as wobbly as the others.
Yeah, I mean, I think they got better as the years went on. I mean, my current one's got bracing underneath, and it doesn't scuttle shake too much. But I'm not fussed about. I mean, having said, you know, the roof's up and the roof's down, and you've got this thing about, you know, the shapes and the lines. I think most of the time with a convertible, when you want to use it and get pleasure from it, the roof is down and you enjoy it. I think the only time I don't enjoy a convertible is when I'm running it round when it's cloudy and the roof is up. But then I don't enjoy any classic car when it's cloudy. It's a little bit like going on a boat when it's cloudy. It's just a bit rubbish. Whereas as soon as the sun comes out, you forget all that and you enjoy it. So I think convertibles do what they say on the tin. They are fun in the summer and we do like them. I find myself drawn to them. And actually the UK is the biggest market for convertibles in the world.
Yeah, we love them, don't you? Which is strange, isn't it?
You know what it is? Because if you live in a hot country like Spain or southern Italy or somewhere like that, you know, actually it's too hot to have the roof down a lot of the time. You want the roof up, especially now when people have got used to air conditioning. They want the roof up and the aircon on. So, you know, us with our kind of like so-so weather, and we should just say, Max and I planned this episode. When we started drafting this episode out, the sun was shining in the sky, wasn't it? And looking out the window now, it's gone back to default cloudiness. But hey, let's press on anyway and imagine the summer is coming, because it is sort of coming.
It might do at some point in the future. Anyway, yeah, you're right. Let's head to the classifieds and find some cars we can suggest for each other. Now, here's my first choice for Matt. Large, cumbersome, wallowy, a bit flash, very high maintenance and super thirsty. Enough about you, Matt. Here's the car, 1995 Bentley Azure. Now, these are a tank, or more like a battleship of a car. It's the Bentley Continental with the roof chopped off, so it's huge in every way, to be honest. It's just a massive car. This one, I've never seen one in this colour spec before. It's black on black with a black roof, triple black, so it's quite imposing, I suppose. I'm not sure it's a colour I'd choose for a convertible, black and black, but it is a huge car. And we've seen a few of these at auctions and quite like them, haven't we? We think they're quite imposing. And also, the good thing about these, based on the Continental, is that they're still relatively cheap. This triple black 95 Bentley Azure, 98,000 miles, is a shade under £50,000. £49,999, sir, for you.
I like them. I like sitting in them. I'm not sure what I'd do with one. It just feels like a golf club pub car.
Well, that describes your life perfectly, doesn't it?
I don't like golf. I like pubs.
But oh, pubs, like, yeah, exactly. I think you could do a lot with that, to be honest, because it's a sense of occasion car, isn't it? It's a great sense of occasion. And cabriolets are about waiting for the right moment, whether it's the weather or it's the day off to go and do it. And that's the perfect car to do it. You know, four up with that, posing around in a Bentley Azure, how fantastic. Plus, you do have the possibility of driving to the south of France. You'd have to have a petrol tanker behind it. But you could do the south of France running that. It's mythical, but we can do it.
It's like a catchphrase. It's like a Brucey catchphrase with you, south of France. Whenever you see a convertible, you're always talking about driving to the bloody south of France. You haven't been to the south of France.
But that's what it's about. That's what it's about. I took the Boxster to the south of France in the early 2000s and loved it. But again, it was too hot, so the roof was up the whole time.
Do you know what? Here's the thing with these. I think most convertible, classic convertibles make you smile and make people smile, and they're quite unpretentious. This still has got a bit of a flash git element to it.
I think that, though.
What more? Yeah. Absolutely nothing. Unlike the Silver Shadow that's become fairly everyman, as you say, it's gone through the stage of being a wedding car and the prices have come down. And now you sort the people you see driving them are a bit younger. This still has got the, triple plated pension kind of feel about it. I'm not sure I would go up and start chatting to a driver of one of these. Is that a wrong thing to say? I just think they'd be quite boring. Sorry, you liked this, didn't you?
Yeah, I do like it. I just think there's part of me that would just like to drive it just for the sheer hell of it. And also for the feel of how it drove. It's going to drive really nicely. You're not going to get much scuttle shake in a car that weighs about 10 tons. So I think as a convertible drive, that's pretty cool. But yeah, I get it. You might feel a bit self-conscious inside.
Yeah, so a bit too flash for me. So let's bring it back down to earth, Max, with a chrome-bumpered classic. My first pick is a classic British roadster that I was standing next to the other day, and I challenge anyone not to like one. This is a 1972, good year, Mark IV Triumph Spitfire. What do you think of this? This one's in red. It's got, the wheels, but, you know, I think...
I quite like those wolf rims. They're quite nice. They're aftermarket, but they're kind of period aftermarket.
A Spitfire, though, is just a good, honest, classic car, isn't it?
It feels, compared to the Bentley, it feels like driving around in a beer can. It all rattles a bit, and it's a bit shaky and wobbly, and the rearview mirror's shaking, and the doors are popping open. I mean, I know that's a bit of an exaggeration, but Spitfires are a bit wobbly. That's my problem with them. I mean, I do like them for fun, but then as soon as you get involved in kind of like cornering, those kind of things that you do in sports cars, it gets a bit messed up. It's not the greatest handling car in the world, because it doesn't always handle the same as the front axle and the rear. So I don't know. It's not ever been my favourite, to be honest.
Isn't that part of the fun of it? I think, you know, you started with that Bentley, and I would say it's probably more akin to a modern car in the way it handles. This is going to be totally, totally different to your daily driver. You know, you're going to get in this. You've got to concentrate on it. As you say, the back wheels might be coming around into vision before your front ones do. You know, it's going to scuttle shake. It's going to probably leave you after about 20 minutes in it, you know, feeling a bit like you've been through a hairdryer. But that's the fun of it, isn't it? And for, we haven't mentioned the price, actually, $5,995.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's a lot of laughs for like $6,000 because you would enjoy driving it. As long as you're not going that far in it, you can have a good laugh. But I do like them. I've enjoyed driving them, but it's not something I'd ever want to jump into again for a long period because they're not particularly built very well.
Sorry, that doesn't narrow down most British classic cars, does it? But I think these are another car that can look quite a bit tatty or really nice. There's one on Instagram that I see. I think it's called Johnny Spitfire or Johnny's Triumph. And he takes some great photos with it. It's in like a powder blue. And it looks fab. I think for a starter classic, these are fantastic. And even not a starter classic, I think you can aspire to a good one. I just think they're honest. They're genuine. I'm not rushing out to buy one, but I just think for me, if you want to get a classic convertible somewhere and have a bit of a laugh, that's the one to get. I think that's totally different to the one before, the Bentley. I think this one is a bit more, this one's going to make you smile a bit more. What else you got?
Okay, here's my next choice for you. Large, cumbersome, wallowy. Oh, sorry, I've done that joke. This is a bit left field, but it's a 1974 Peugeot 304 Cabriolet. Now, ooh, these are the 70s cabriolets, which are kind of flat deck cabs. I think they're really pretty. They're not fast. I think it's 1.3, so it's about 75 horsepower. But it does look really, really stylish. The slight problem with this one, it's popping up on your screen now, it's silver and it's had some work done. And as we know with silver cars, it's very difficult to hide the filler. And if you look just behind the driver's door, you can see the outline of the filler. But £11,000, 70s coolness, 304 convertible, not many around. I think they only made a few hundred right-hand drive ones, and there's only probably a handful left. So I think they're really cool. Plus, inside, they look nice. They've got that kind of 70s Gallic charm.
You know what I say to this? I say, ooh la la, because I think I like this. I've seen these in the flesh. There's one near me that goes to shows around here. And I really, really like these because, again, they're unpretentious, but they've got a bit of Gallic charm to them.
Yeah, I think they're quite a good choice because nobody really knows what they are. And considering it's just based on a Boggo Peugeot, they've come up with a really stylish body to it. Looks fantastic with the roof down. Doesn't look that bad with the roof up, actually. There's a few roof up pictures of it. If you look past the slightly dodgy filler, you've got a kind of brown or a cognac leather interior. You've got that lovely kind of Peugeot lack of detail. There's no kind of like fussiness about the design. And it's going to take you from A to B in perfect comfort. It's not going to be fast, but you not really want to go fast. And it should hold its value, these 304s, because there's so few of them around.
I mean, the nice thing about this actually, Max, as well, is that, you know, it gives you a hobby because 2 weeks of the year you're going to be driving it. The other 50, you're going to be looking for spare parts in warehouses in France because getting hold of trim and bits and pieces for this, I know for a fact, it's a bit of a nightmare.
I'm going to struggle to find another one for you. I think when I was looking on them, there was only two in Car and Classic, one was abroad. So you're going to be in a select club. That's the best thing I can say about that, I suppose.
Moving on from France, let's go south towards Italy. And I was thinking, you know, what classic car would I put on my sort of top list? And I thought, well, Alfa Spider, I can't have one of those because I've had one. And I thought, no, actually, sod it. An Alfa Spider 70s one is the one I'd go for. I had an 80s one, a Series 3 with the rubber bumpers, which are a little bit of an ugly duckling. But the 70s Camtel, I think you and I both like these. So let's throw this up on your screen. 1977, Series 2, blue, right hooker, had a full resto in mid-90s, 96. There's photos and receipts apparently available. And it's $19,950. Take my money.
Boat tail. Boat tail, boat tail, boat tail.
Boat tail are ridiculous prices.
Yeah, this, but they just look so much nicer, don't they?
Yeah, they do, but I still like the Camtel, and I think it's a really usable. I mean, $20,000 is more than it was a few years ago. They were like 15, 10 to 15, but $20,000 for those. They've got the cowl dials, they've got the drop needle dials, they've got the 70s interior. The interior went a bit meh after that. But, you know, it's still got that, it's got that essence of the boat tail without the ridiculous price. What's a boat tail? I mean, even in today's market, it's probably 50, 60 grand, isn't it?
Yeah, but the trouble with these cam tails is they are the runner-up. They're the silver medal because they're beautiful at the front, but the interior's gone off a bit because all the metal has been covered up by plastic and it looks very 70s kind of Fiat. And then the cam tail, well, I mean, it was quite a good design, but it's just not as pretty as the boat tail. So the problem with these is, like most cars where there's a better version out there, is you're going to drive around the whole time thinking, oh, I wish I'd only got the boat tail.